Sahanavavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavīryam karavāvahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mā vidviṣāvahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so continue with the we're on Western Ocean, yes. First Wave, Chapter 35. Okay, verse 316. The main cause of Shantaras arising in these persons is realization of the form of the Lord. The main cause of Dasya and other rasas appearing in the devotees is appreciation of the Lord's attractive pastimes. Although this is also one factor in the Shantabhakta's realization, it is not the main factor. So, you see, there's also a difference in the focus on this. As explained before, is that these Shantabhaktas, they were absorbed in Brahman. And then, so the bliss of Brahman. Now experiencing Rati, then that goes much further, much more intense. But it's not the same, because it's about the form. So they're connecting everything back to the form. So they see the form, how everything's expanded, everything's so in relationship with the form. Then it's not that he doesn't have pastimes on that, but the central point is the form. And so then with the Dasya and others, then it's the pastimes, the interaction with the devotees. Right? Because it's the element of possession. So possession means there's going to be interaction. Jivasudha Jiva Goswami. This verse further elaborates on the word Isha Maya. Even those who realize the happiness of Brahman without qualities can also realize the form of the Lord. As do those with dasya and other rasas. The realization of the form of the Lord will become the main cause of rasa appearing. Though this is so, they also have some realization of the attractive pastimes and qualities of the Lord. However, though this is somewhat of a cause, this is not considered the main cause for the appearance of their shanta rasa. Whereas it is the main cause for the other rasas, starting with dasya. So they're always that attraction is because of his qualities and pastimes with the devotees. That's what then causes that rati. But with the Shantabhaktas, then it's the form of the Lord that causes the rati.
Maharaj, We saw in Bhagavad Sandarbha how Lord with a limited form can having a medium-sized form is the source of everything, and then how he expands and yes. all those aspects of the Lord's form, that's what gives them that impetus.
Yes. So it's this. So that means it's the central point. Like for us, the central point is the name, and we're inspired by form, qualities, and pastimes. But the name is our main focal point because that's all we actually know. And then you'll see with these devotees, then that form becomes very prominent for them. So then actually qualities are there, pastimes are there. You know, so that makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of where the focus is. Thus it's described in the Bhagavatam, where the Kumaras realize the form and some of the qualities of the Lord. At that very moment, the Lord, who is called Padmanabha, because of the lotus grown from his navel, and who is the delight of the righteous, learned about the insult offered by his own servants to the saints. Accompanied by a spouse, the goddess of fortune, he went to the spot by his feet, which are sought by recluses and great sages. 3:15:37. Yeah. So, yeah. The sage was headed by Shaunaka Rishi, so it's talking about the form. He went there personally, so they saw the form. And some qualities, because, you know, he's taking that responsibility, you know, he's in charge, his servants have done something wrong, so then he takes that responsibility. He comes there personally, he comes there with his consort, you know, so these things, so all these aspects are going to be there, but it's the form that will be there, the prominent element for them. The sages, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their hearts, in ecstatic trance, had now actually become visible to their eyes. As he came forward, accompanied by his own associates, bearing all paraphernalia, such as an umbrella and a chamara fan, the white bunches of hair moved very gently, like two swans, and due to their favorable breezes, the pearls garlanding the umbrella also moved, yet drops of nectar falling from the white full moon, or ice melting due to a gust of wind. 3:15:38. They had more appreciation now than they had previously saw the Lord in meditation. Swa samadhi bhagyam. They realized not only the Lord, but his associates as well. Swa pumpihi. The Lord was endowed with all types of wealth, indicated by the words prati ritao paikam, bearing all paraphernalia such as umbrella and chamara. However, greater than this realization of the qualities by the santa devotees is the realization of the attractiveness, pastimes, and qualities by the dasa bhaktas. That is indicated in the verse dasyadi van mano gyatva lilader na tata mata. Right? So there's just this more. See, now we're talking within rati, within these aspects of rasa, which is an unlimited ocean. Then certain devotees are appreciating certain aspects of this unlimited ocean. So it's unlimited in itself, but the others still have greater factors that are going on. So the intensity will be greater. Right? So we can't compare it to our position where it's not a whole lot's happening. Right? And then just say, Shanta Bhaktas, you know, like that. No, they're in a very, you know, special position. Like that. So, make sense? Yes.
It's a difficult point to understand when there's a comparison. Then within absolute, there's a relativity.
Yes. Because the absolute doesn't mean that it's not personal and doesn't have qualities. See, because our training in the material world is you have the material world with qualities, and then when that becomes a problem, then we give that up for the absolute. So we turn to the spiritual. But then the problem with the absolute, sense karma means I'm involved in the objects of the material world with my senses, and therefore in activities and all these kind of aspects, because of my attachment. Then when I find it doesn't really satisfy, then I turn to an alternative. And so you can't use anything of this world. So you turn to the spiritual, which in one sense is a progression forward. But the difficulty is in doing so, then there's no impetus for karma. Therefore, there's no engagement of the senses. And no thought that there's anything to do with the senses. So the senses, that's where the variety comes. That's the, you know, action comes with all these varieties, various results, various tastes. So, therefore, one is taking up the idea of spiritual, but it's incomplete. So that's why we'll make a distinction between spiritual and transcendental. Even though spiritual is transcendental, and transcendental is spiritual, but the difference is that spiritual is just the basis of the position. It's just like the floor. And then on the floor, you're putting rugs and furnitures and all kinds of other decorations and all that. So when we say the room, it includes the floor. But when we say the floor, it doesn't include the furnitures and everything else. So in that way, then you can either use spiritual to mean the whole thing, because bhakti is the original. Or if you're trying to compare, then you'll say spiritual is just that just the floor. And then when you say transcendental, it means everything else in the room and the paraphernalia and the people and their interactions and everything like that. So we only know the material variety or the spiritual platform where there is no variety. We only understand the impersonal aspect. So because of that, then the tendency is to think, how can you have variety in spiritual? But the point is that's where variety comes from. It's this natural position, is that it's unlimited, but at the same time, it's you know, how you say, conceivable. That's the uniqueness. That's God. You know, He's beyond logic. So that's the aspect. So then we can be very happy with that. So those who are sentimentalists, they just see all these aspects. They don't understand the philosophy. Then those who understand the philosophy may get distracted by just the mechanics of it and the logic of it. But the actual devotional position is one has that natural attraction for Krishna, and, you know, one can explain these things. You know, because, like, if you're in a position, in somewhere, you can explain what's going on there. You know, to someone else, you've been there, you know, the people, the interactions, what everybody did, but you can explain that. But if one's never been there, then it becomes a bit impersonal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah.
When we say that the focal point for the Shanta Bhaktas is the form,
yes,
and for us, for example, the name, it means how we see everything through that and how they see everything, because they also can see the qualities.
They can see, but it's the main point. It's just like, let's say you're in a community, and so you relate to the community, but you see the community from the perspective of your family and its position in the community. So it's not that you don't see that, and then someone else would be in another family, they'll see the whole thing from their position. So Krishna is unlimited, and so each devotee in their position then sees Krishna accordingly. You know, so what's the major point? What's the, you know, it's just like, for someone, let's say, their family, it's the richness that, you know, how you say, is outstanding for them. So they're going to look at everything else and judge everything else by the richness. Someone else, it may be the culture of the family or the tradition of the family, you know, like that. And so because of that, then they'll judge everyone else, how much do they follow the tradition or how cultured they are. Right? And so the whole point is, as you go, all these things are included. Because you can have all that together. You can be wealthy, you can be cultured, and you can be traditional. They all nicely go together. But you can also see you can just be one at a time. Someone can be very traditional, but they don't interact nicely with people like that. They may not be very wealthy. You know, so how you say, they go in and try to take over that village where the devotees have the center. You know, yes. Yes, you know, like that. or they're cultured and all that, but they may not be very willful, or they're not into tradition. You know, like some people are into culture. It's just anything that's culture, they don't actually have a background in tradition. You know, like, you know, you're kind of more modern, kind of educated, liberal person that tends to be like that. Or the person is wealthy and, you know, they're not known for having any tradition or any culture. You know, the new Arish, they can easily be like that. Or you can have combination, you know, like this. So it's, the point is whatever is of value for you, that's what's going to be how you perceive everything. You know, or let's say you don't have those, but you have control. Your family's in control. You know, you're in, you know, big administrative position. So you might have not have the others, but you have control. So then that's, you know, going to be your perspective, or maybe. So the point is you can be involved with the whole thing and only be focused on a particular point, but it doesn't mean that you don't see the whole thing. It's just your focus is going to be in one particular place. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. So it's that's nature. You know, it's just like, let's take another kind of example, that you, by the nature of the person, that let us say we go into someone's house, right? Now let's say the person is an interior decorator. So when they go into the house, what will they see? Yeah, they're going to see how it is, what the curtains are, this, what it matches, the color, how they have arranged it and all this, and they'll decide it's nice or not. That's what they'll get out of it. Let's say someone else is into, let's say, just, you know, cleanliness, orderliness, and all that. That's what they're going to see. or someone else is more into the relationships that are there. So they're going to see how everybody interacts. They may not even notice the other stuff. Does that make sense? You know, if someone's in, you know, looking at the prestige, they'll just see that aspect of the house. So depending upon how you are, let's say an electrician goes into a house, what will he see? You know, like that. So there's always going to be those kind of aspects. So it's personal. That's the whole thing, is that the personal has its unlimited aspect, but the personal is the original. So we're used to the idea that the unlimited is the original, and then we're adding the personal. And so that's why you see is that they're saying before they were meditating on the Lord. So it's not that the impersonalists don't have any problem meditating on the Lord, because the Shastras say that he is the topmost and all that, and he's situated in that position of pure goodness. So since they're trying to get there, they'll meditate on him and there's no problem. But it's not necessarily that in that meditation that it invokes bhakti. You know? Does that make sense? So generally speaking, we see is very few are like that. You know, that's why we deal with the Maya bodies. So when we say impersonalist, we generally mean Maya bodies. Unless we're meaning impersonalist compared to the yogis, compared to the bhaktas, then we may just be taking a portion. So in the devotees, so we're used to the idea that the impersonal is there, and you're adding, the impersonal is there, you're adding the personal. So it has to at one point switch where it's the personal and everything else is there. So that person is unlimited. It's simultaneous. But the origin is the person, not the unlimited. Does that make sense? The person is who's unlimited. Because by logic we say if something's unlimited, it can't be personal. But the point is if there's something unlimited, where does it come from? It has to have a source. That's the person. Does that make sense? Because if we say, oh no, but the unlimited is the origin, then how does all the personal elements and everything come about? How would impersonal give rise to personal? Personal can have impersonal. That's our experience. Right? You have the person, he has this big conglomerate, multinational, business. And so it has all those impersonal elements of how it just expands out and how all different things, and this one here, this one there, go downs here, so many people and ledgers and accounts and all that. So that's all the impersonal aspect. You can count, okay, he's got 20 factories. But it's not talking about any particular and about the nature, in some sense. So the qualities of things, you can easily go, but it comes from the person, because the person is there. That's why the business is happening. It's not that from all the unlimited things of the world, suddenly a business comes up, out of the middle of the Amazon forest as they're going in and going deeper and deeper, then they come across this fabulous, factory that just, no one's there in that, it just spontaneously produces, one-of-a-kind Rolls Royces or something. Like that. No, it doesn't happen. Does that make sense? It's just, the personal is the cause of the impersonal. Not the other way around. And so it's not that it's higher, it's just an aspect of the personal. So, yeah. So we're good?
Yes.
317. According to the wise, the four-armed form of the Lord, Vishaya, and the Shantabhaktas, Ashraya, are the Alambanas. Right, so it's going to be more the four-armed form of the Lord. Right? Because they're looking at how he's expanding and everything, how he's controlling everything and this and that. That's the aspect that they're tasting. And so therefore the four-armed form will be the main. But it's not that he doesn't have the two-armed form. It's just that this would be the main point. Srila Prabhupada, without worshipping the Archa-Vigraha, the form or deity of the Lord, one cannot understand such literature as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. For those great sages situated in the position of transcendental neutrality, the beginning should be to take shelter of Lord Vishnu, the four-handed eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mystic yogis are therefore advised to meditate on the form of Lord Vishnu, as recommended by Kapila Muni in the Shankya Yoga system. Unfortunately, many mystic yogis try to meditate on something void, and as stated in the Gita, the result is that they simply undergo trouble and do not achieve any tangible result. So they don't understand, and so they just go for this. Even if the ultimate point is impersonal, still the Shastras are recommending meditation on Vishnu to get there. That's the position. So you're not going to get there unless you meditate upon the Lord. So they try to meditate on something void, they're not going to get there. They might become Buddhists, but they're not going to get, you know, the realization they're looking for. Yes.
I mean, it's logical. You meditate on the void, what you get is void.
Yes. Yeah. But the difficulty is that meditating on the void is not going to really work because we're people. So meditating on nothingness or just, you know, is not going to work. It has to be something personal. We're a person, we meditate on something personal. So this understanding that you can have the personal and unlimited simultaneously, that's just not appreciated by the material intelligence. Therefore, then these mundane so-called spiritualists, they cannot understand it. They'll always say, oh, it all goes back to the unlimited spirit, you know, like that. Unlimited is there, but that unlimited comes from someplace. Yeah, so that's then the Ashraya and the Vishaya. The forearm, 318, the forearm formed. This attractive forearm form, filled with bliss and dark blue in complexion, is an ocean in which the jivas are the waves. If he is seen by the Paramahamsa sages, the mind will leave the impersonal Brahman and become absorbed in all his qualities. 3:1-9-10. The Alambana, Vishaya, in Shantaras is the Lord with an eternal form of knowledge and bliss, most attractive to the Atmaramas. He is the part, so the knowledge and bliss are the main aspects. That rather than the existences there, these aspects. It's not so much the qualities that are generating the interaction with the devotees. They can appreciate them, but it's that this person does that. It's just like we can see Paramatma, then he's a person, but you're dealing more with a localized aspect. It doesn't have all the aspects to it, the manifestation. Right, does that make sense? So in our heart, then the Paramatma is there. He's sitting there. You know, he's just on his own. So he's the Supreme Lord. But Bhagavan means that manifesting all the opulences and interacting with the devotees based on those opulences. So it's not that Paramatma doesn't have all his paraphernalia and associates and all those, as we see in Kiradaksha. Vishnu, he has his whole scene going on there. Mahavishnu, he has his whole scene going on, his palace and everything. Garbhodaksha Vishnu, all his associates. So these are going on because they are Bhagavan, but they're just manifesting locally to expanding so that you can appreciate the presence. So that will be the main form for them, that aspect. Is Bhagavan, but it'll be Bhagavan as more of the Paramatma aspect. So many times. Yeah. Three, 1, 9-10. The Alambana Vishaya in Shantaras is the Lord of the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Let me just read that. He is the Paramatma, the Parabrahman, free from all passions, tolerant, pure, sense-controlled, eternally fixed in spiritual form, who rewards even the enemies he kills, and who is greater than the whole universe. So you see, qualities are there, but it's more in the context of his greatness, and his greatness, his unlimitedness, how he deals, and, you know, he's free from all bad qualities, he has all the good qualities,
So it's quite formal, actually.
Yes, well, it's formal, because possession means formality starts to reduce.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So then, but if there's no possession, it's just formal. So the appreciation is very great. It's not that there can't be interaction and all these kind of things. It's just that it'll be very formal. Yes, that would be one you know, way of saying the difference. So even though in Vaikuntha Dasya Rasa is still a formal aspect, or in Dwarka they'll still have that element of formality. You see, as the possession gets stronger, the formality becomes a little bit less. You know, so Dwarka is a little less than in Vaikuntha. But there is this, you know, that aspect of that sense of possession. You know, of my Lord and everything like that. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada. When some great saintly person who has undergone penances and austerities saw the four-handed transcendental form of Vishnu, they remarked, "This four-handed form of the Lord, manifested in a bluish color, is the reservoir of all pleasure and the center of our living force." Actually, when we see this eternal form of Vishnu, we, along with many other Paramahamsas, become immediately captivated by the beauty of the Lord. This appreciation of Lord Vishnu by saintly persons is an instance of situation in Shanta Rasa, or the neutral stage of devotional service. In the beginning, those who are aspiring for salvation try to get out of the material entanglement by performing painful austerities and penances, and ultimately come to the impersonal status of spiritual realization. At this Brahma-Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.30.20, stage of liberation from material entanglement, the symptoms, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, are that one becomes joyous beyond any hankering or lamentation, and gains a universal vision. When the devotee is situated in the Shantaras, or neutral states of devotional service, he appreciates the form of Lord Vishnu. Right, so, it's not a problem. It's not that, we go beyond this. It means that Shanta has this and then has more. So that's the thing. It's not that the five rasas are five distinct positions. It means that you're adding something to the previous position, and then therefore it takes on the new element. But it's not that the previous one has disappeared or it's not contained within. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you have you cook some potatoes. So potatoes are there, and on its own it has its particular flavor. I can now add a squeeze of lemon to that. So it's still potatoes. All the previous tastes are there, plus now you have that lemon aspect. So the dasya means that it's that, the shanta, plus something more. And then the sakya will be those other two plus something more. And as it takes on different kind of elements. Does that make sense? You know, and then you can put some danyapata, and it'll give another flavor. And so, you know. So it just keeps going. You can just keep adding things, and it just keeps going farther and farther. So the taste becomes broader and deeper and more intense.
So. Somehow that food example is always very vivid.
Yes, always, because it's like we can relate to it, especially in these early morning classes. You know, it's like that's why after breakfast, you know, that one, it does, class don't work very well because no one's hungry. You know, so. Yeah. But so that's the. That's the point of, that's the whole, that means just on going back to a previous discussion, is that, you know, the psychology works that I'm going to go from A to B, right? You know, it's just like Prabhupada says, the inchworm, you know, it has its foot on one leaf, then it puts the other one on the other leaf, and when it's situated there, then it picks up the last one. So, you always have to connect one experience to another for you to move forward. So in other words, you have to start with the one they're at now and then move forward. So then we see is that the preaching, or, you know, just interaction or that personal dealings, means you're starting with a position where someone's at, they then you're giving an example that relates to that position, but at the same time brings them forward. And then when that's there, now that new position, that new, you know, the example you gave, that becomes the new position. Then you can take it farther again forward. So that's why it's step by step. Like that. But Krishna being everything, you can't just surrender and just the whole thing's accomplished. But if not, then, you know, step by step it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. Actually, all Vedic cultures aimed at understanding Lord Vishnu. In the Rig Veda, one mantra says that any advanced saintly person is always aspiring to be fixed in meditation on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, footnote 3. As stated in the Vedas, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sara Pashyanti Suradayaha. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. The conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.13.19. So here's the point is, because he's not interested, that's why he remains everlastingly in bondage. Right? And then you become eternally liberated because you have that, you've cultivated that relationship with Vishnu. So the point of everlasting bondage is not actually defining time. It's defining the consciousness like that. So we'll tend to look at things according to time and space. But this is not defining by time and space. This is talking about you're eternally conditioned because you're not trying to revive your relationship with the Lord. And as soon as you try to revive the relationship with the Lord, then you go into the other category. Right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the foolish do not know that Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. Footnote 4. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru, a similar blind man attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords. And they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.13. So that's it. We're taking that, the goals that we take for ourselves, we take it based on other materialists, that they're doing something and how great they are and how great it's going. And because of that, then we become bound by those same cords that bind them. You don't understand. Because the idea is we just look at, oh, they're happy. But the point is they're also bound by the nature, material nature, so they're not happy. You know, we try to make, it inspires us to think that they're happy. According to the conclusion of all authoritative Vedic literatures, when a person comes to the stage of appreciating Vishnu, he is at the beginning of devotional service. If one cultivates devotional service further and further under proper guidance, other features of devotional service will gradually become manifest. And so this point of this appreciation of Vishnu, this is the beginning of devotional service. So that's the point. It's rasa. They're on the platform of devotional service. Right, and they're internally situated there. So we're going to point, it's the beginning stage. But devotional service is so glorious that even that beginning stage is so grand. Then, it says, then under proper guidance, other features of devotional service will gradually become manifest. So even if you're going through, you'll start to appreciate how Krishna is everything, and his greatness and everything like that, and how nice he is, and these kind of things like that. Yes?
So can we say that according to this logic, every devotee, I'm not speaking about Nitya Siddhas,
yes, yes.
Sadhana Siddhas,
yes, yes.
They all go through all those stages beginning from Shanta,
yes.
And then they stop at the stage that is natural for them?
Yes. Yeah, that would be what you're doing. Because we're hearing about all of them, therefore that's why we're moving through. It means we may be inspired by all these higher aspects. You know, but it will take us up to how whatever is our position. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say I talk about some, you know, fabulous shop in Calcutta, and so you want to get to that shop, but the process is of going to that shop. You know, you're going to go through Bamanpakur, you're going to go through Krishnagar and Ranagat, and you know all that kind of stuff, and then you're going to get there. So everyone's going to get there, but it's just some, you know, may be happy in Krishnagar, so they go there. You know, they as you're driving by, they see that there's that, the big bazaar there. And that's good enough, so they're Hari Baul, there they are. And they've heard that there's other ones in Calcutta, and it's nice, but, you know, they're good. That makes sense. You wouldn't stop there. Okay, so that's the whole point. You're taking that and you're going further beyond that. But it's still, it's a position to go through because it's the foundation. You know, it's the floor. And then by exit, then you put other things and you add in until you get this hole and then a nice pastime. Yes.
So it sounds like we're all dreaming by our own taste. However, in the process of practicing Shuddha Bhakti, our taste develops.
Yes.
But then, why still some, as you mentioned, satisfied with whatever they're satisfied with, and some just continue?
Because it's who they are. It's their nature. Hmm. Because you're an individual. You're an individual person. So from that aspect, then you yourself, it's your taste. It's just like it's something like you know, let's like say there's a whole buffet of things to eat. You pick certain things that you like. All of it's there, but you take, you know, there's the person who takes other things, and you know, or combinations. So everyone being an individual, they're going to take. So Krishna is unlimited and has all these different qualities and all that, but just one adds more. It's just what works for you. You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, we just have the room itself. You know, now, let us say we go into a, big mansion, all that. You know, you're looking at it as far as, purchase it. So you're going to go in there, and there's a good, you know, it can be completely empty. You can appreciate the floors and the hardwood floors, and it's made like this, and the patterns and the designs that are there, and how it's varnished, and how this and that, and the stairs and the columns, and just that structure of the house and how it's done and all that. You can appreciate that, and you're happy with the house, right? But then there's going to be there's going to be activities going on in the house. And so then if it's just going to be the activity that, now this old lady buys the house and she has a few servants, you're going to set it up in a particular way. Well, yeah. Now if you're going to set that up where you're going to be interacting with friends and this and that, there'll be other paraphernalia. There'll be more things that'll be there. Now if there's going to be children in the house, then again, more things are there. Right? And then the conjugal will have so many little refinements and all that that you don't need with the others. So you just see is that you're taking the same situation, just adding more and more elements to it because of the nature of the rasa that is there and the taste that's there. So that particular goal is there, then you're going to leave it in a particular way. That's why the cowherd boys, to really manifest their pastimes, they have to go out in the forest. Right? Because they can't do that in Mother Jashoda's house. There'll be trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so it's just, there's a taste, and so there's a natural taste, so when you get to that point, you're satisfied. It's not that the other things are there, it's not that Krishna's cowherd boys, they know he has a girlfriend, but it's just it's there, but no one talks about it. Then his confidential ones, then there are ego ones, they can take part in all this, kind of like that, but it's just kind of there at the scene, that Krishna's there, and you're there, and it's kind of like, the boys are there. And so you can appreciate that level. But then the confidential, like let's say Subal or like that, then they can understand the finer aspects that are going in there and appreciate that. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so it's just a matter of within. So you can appreciate the other aspects, but it's still based on your relationship.
Interesting that when we describe the philosophy, we actually see that the one Lord is expanding into many forms
Yes.
because of the desires of devotees.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas the primary quality of jiva, one of the primary qualities is his individual. Every jiva is individual, means they are different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to see oneness in the jivas and difference in the Lord. Like saying that this form is different from that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other way around. Yeah, interesting. So that's the whole point, is that we're actually trying to reverse our perspective, because when you're looking at the, you know, it's just like we're used to, you know, trees are upside down. You know? When you're looking at the water, the tree is upside down. And so then we get used to the thing is, actually, no, trees are right side up. And because of that, therefore, there's the upside down tree. You know, because otherwise we'll think it's the upside down tree. Oh, then there's that other tree. Is, you know, it's there. Then it's coming from this. But we have to not become the other way. So at one point we have to switch the thinking. So that whole aspect of switching the thinking, where we go to the deductive, that is coming down from Krishna, coming down from the acharyas. That's the whole point that we're trying to get to. Otherwise, doubts generally come up because we're trying to still use the inductive. And then the two don't, the word that stuck in my mind was jive, so I wasn't sure if that would work. What does that even mean, jive?
Jail.
Huh?
We use another word called jail. Jailing well, like mixed well with jail.
Jail.
Something like that.
Jail.
I don't know, I'm not spelling it properly.
Oh, I don't know.
We know neither.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jives. I think it may be from the music industry. Okay. We finished that purport, Prabhupada's. So now we're on 3.1.11. I'm not sure either. Oh no, here's something about the demons, I think. Oh no, we only got up to this. If one cultivates devotional service further and further under proper guidance, other features of devotional service will gradually become manifest. We'll appreciate like that under guidance. So it'll go as far as there. It's not that beyond that you don't see it, but it's just your situation is there. Right? Each rasa can see all the other four, but it's just you see it from that perspective. Does that make sense? And since each one is a progression of the last, then those elements will be there. But it's not, so the Shanta Ras is going to be a standard thing, the Dasya Ras. Then after that, I don't think you have to go through the other ones to get to the particular position. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But that one sees that, then develops that sense of possession and service towards the Lord, then it will take on the particular flavors that is there. You know, because it says you can surrender a medium and just go straight there, but since we haven't done that, we're going through a gradual process. So exactly how the individuals will go through, but this ability to appreciate the Lord and everything, that's going to be the first position. You know, whether it has more gyan to it or less, that's going to be, you know, the particular individual. At this stage of Shanta Ras, one can see Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer of even the demons. The Lord is appreciated by such would-be devotees as the eternal transcendental form, the chief of all realized souls, the Supersoul and the Supreme Brahman. He is also appreciated as being completely peaceful, completely controlled and pure, merciful to the devotees and untouched by any material condition. This appreciation of Lord Vishnu and awe and veneration by the saintly is to be understood as the sign that they are situated in the Shanta Ras, or the neutral stage of devotional service. Right, so here you mentioned, Lord is appreciated by such would-be devotees. It means that it's coming up to that platform, it's the beginning stage, like that. And so then by that, with the time and association, become better situated. But you're going to start there. That's going to be the point where you see beyond just the impersonal to the person that it's coming from. You know, the covering is removed enough, now you can see the person. And so then they appreciate that. So you see all the great qualities that they never doubt the Lord. They don't have these things. They always see how kind he is and everything like that. So then when we're saying, oh, how did he do this? How did he do that? Then it means we haven't gotten to this position. That mentality means this position is not being appreciated. Because it's not that it's coming based on a particular relationship. We're just doubting, you know, how does Krishna allow, you know, suffering to go on in the world and all that. Then it's another thing. We're looking at it that what is his fault? What about us? 3.1.11. The Shanta Bhaktas are of two types. The Atmaramas, who have attained Rakti for Krishna due to the mercy of Krishna and his dear devotees, and the performers of austerities, who have developed firm faith in the path of Bhakti, also by the mercy of devotees. The sages headed by Sanaka and Sananda are considered Atmaramas, because Sanaka and the other Kumaras are the main Atmarama Shanta Bhaktas. Their forms of Bhakti will now be described. Their forms. 3.1.13.
I didn't quite catch what's the main difference between the two groups.
Well, one it seems to be is that you're going to be the Atmaramas, so it's just a matter of that philosophical look on things. The knowledge is going to be. And the other one is performance of austerities. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that has that physical aspect like that that comes to that. Mm-hmm. So that may be the yogis or, you know, just people who are doing that kind of austere kind of aspect, you know, very strictly following, you know, the sannyas or vanaprastha or brahmacharya or, you know, just going through that kind of aspect.
I think the example of Dhruva Maharaj also is given in that.
But as the second. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that means. Their forms. The four Kumaras are children 5 years old, shining with effulgence, golden in complexion, and almost naked. They wander about together. Srila Prabhupada. This stage of Shanta Ras, because there's also a difference as almost naked, because basically, depending upon the culture, if someone's not nicely dressed, you'll say they're naked. Right? It means, you know, there's less clothes, it's not all there, it's not all that, they're naked. Mm-hmm. But in the West, unless they're, you know, completely stark naked, that's why there's naked and then there's stark naked. So they're almost naked. You know? So that makes sense. So it's just, yeah?
If half-dressed is naked.
Yeah. You know, it's just, you know. Because naked just means exposed. Mm-hmm. You know, just like something comes up and then, you know, people learn about something and they start laughing and criticize, you feel naked, you know, exposed, you know, like that. So, yeah.
Also, according to culture, they put that belt
yes.
But a small chain.
Yes,
not completely.
What, kinky belt? Yeah, they wear that little belt. Because they're 5 years old, so they have a little belt on, so they're not completely naked.
My mom was small, we did like that.
Yeah.
And my mom asked him, why are you going naked? He said, I'm not.
So, I got my belt on.
She didn't understand that.
Yeah. So almost naked. Srila Prabhupada. This stage of Shanta Rasa can be attained by the impersonalist only when they are in association with pure devotees. Right? Only when they're in the association of pure devotees. Otherwise, the impersonalist can never get to this point, can't get to Shanta Rasa. Otherwise, it is not possible. After Brahman realization, when a liberated soul comes in contact with a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and submissively accepts the teachings of Lord Krishna without misinterpretation, he becomes situated in this neutral stage of devotional service. The best example of saintly persons situated in the Shanta Rasa are Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumara. The Kumara brothers, these four saintly persons known as Chatusana, are sons of Lord Brahma. After their birth, when they were ordered by their father to become householders and increase the human society, they refused the order. They said that they had already decided not to become entangled with family life. They would rather live as saintly brahmacharis for their own perfection. So these great saints have been living for millions of years now, but still they appear to be just like boys of 4 or 5 years old. Their complexions are very fair. There's an effulgence in their bodies, and they always travel naked. These four saintly persons almost always remain together. Right? So they say wander about together. So generally always together. Occasionally you have one of them, then you have some, but it's very rare. Yeah, so 4 or 5, because you also have in the one of the, you know, traditional ways of looking at age is from conception. So therefore, when you'd be 4, you'd actually be by the Vedic called 5. You know. So when you're born, that's considered you're already 1 year old. Then you take the others. So yeah. So like that. So 4 or 5 depends on how you're looking at it. 3.1.14, their bhakti. Oh Mukunda, until we realize your astonishing form of knowledge and bliss with the complexion of a new tamal tree, we are absorbed in the indescribable Brahman beyond the senses and modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada. In one of the prayers of the Kumara brothers, this declaration is made. O Lord Mukunda, Krishna, the giver of liberation, only so long as one does not happen to see your eternal form of bliss and knowledge, appearing just like a newly grown tamal tree, with bluish hue, only for so long can the impersonal feature of the absolute truth, known as Brahman, be very pleasing to a saintly person. So Brahman will be pleasing to the saintly person until they come in contact with Krishna's beautiful, you know, youthful form. But once they come in contact with that, then they're not going to be satisfied with just that Brahman platform. Because they're already on the Brahman platform. Therefore, when they come across the Lord's form, they can see it's not, they're beyond the modes. And so they're getting a pleasure there that's beyond that of Brahman, so they can understand this is the Lord is transcendental. So the tapasa shantabhaksha. The practitioners of austerity are those who worship the Lord while practicing yukta vairagya without giving up the desire for liberation, since obstacles of bhakti are destroyed by attaining liberation. Srila Prabhupada. The qualification of a saintly person are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. A saintly person is one who understands fully that simply by discharging devotional service, he can become confident of liberation. He is always situated in the regular principles of devotional life and at the same time aspires to be liberated from material entanglement. Right? So this is going to be that position. Right, so you're engaging everything by yukta vairagya. You're taking everything according to the duties, engaging in the service. What you see is the Kumaras, they're atmaramas, so they're not really engaging anything. They're just absorbed in the transcendental position. Right? I mean, if that's what they do, they just sit around and, like on top of loka. They just discuss philosophy and then go back to their hermitages and meditate. Yeah, they don't do anything. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Bhakti becomes free of obstacles by attaining liberation in this body. With the presence of obstacles such as lust and anger and their constant influence, bhakti does not appear. They practice with a suitable form of detachment, yukta vairagya, without giving up the desire for liberation. Right? So that's the element that's there. That's why it makes the shanta. Because they're looking for that liberated. So shanta ras means it's situated on the liberated platform, the Brahma-Bhuta platform, with the form of with being absorbed in Krishna. Right? So the impersonalist is the Brahma-Bhuta platform without Krishna. So its taste is inferior. And they will come back into the material world because they're still not adding Krishna, so it can't be considered an eternal position. Right? Because they're still, the whole idea of liberation is getting away from the material miseries that are there in the world. That's the motive. And so it's still within the realm of the Mahatattva. So then the Shanta Bhaktas, they've taken that and gone to the other side, where now they accept Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you can see this side of the glass or you can go through it. Now the question comes, does that mean that, you know, Alice attained the position of Shanta Ras? Stay on this platform of the impersonalism. You want to say something?
Yes, so their abode would be Vaikuntha, the Shantabhaktas.
The boat.
A boat. Place of
basically,
residence.
Yes, but they can be anywhere. But it still means the natural way they're looking is going to be that, but it's not that those devotees aren't there in Goloka also, you know, in the human pastimes. So, the point is that, so, let's say, the pastime is there, Icha Shakti, is Krishna, pleasing Krishna, right? Then, you're going to have the Jnana and Kriya supporting those, right? Mm-hmm. So, they're going to be situated in the Jnana aspect.
Yes.
And so, you know, that means creates that atmosphere, creates the mood, kind of the basis of which the pastime can go on. And so, but it's that they may, you know, appreciate those pastimes of Krishna and Braj. And so therefore there'll be Shanta Bhaktas there, or in Dwarka, or in Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. Like that. But the point is they're still dealing with that Jnana Kriya aspect. You know, so there is the truly jnana, it has the kriya, the jnana, I mean, the icha aspects that they're in support of. That's why they're devotees. So you see, it's going to have that, as you say, that aspect of that Paramatma kind of flavor, though it's in Braj. Because they see him as the, you know, the special and most wonderful and, you know, so kind, and yes.
It's because of, like, the sattvic avas that manifest, we see that something, a garima, like, condensed, some are light. So those are in Vaikuntha, a little light, and then as you go to
yes.
It's the bhavas which you become more
intense.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, smoking or, you know, jwala, all these different things. So theirs goes up to a particular point.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And so it's there. It's devotional, it adds to the atmosphere. You know, it's just like something's going on, there's a whole group of people. And let's say two friends are really interacting and talking and all that, and everybody else is in watching. But you know, they don't necessarily taste what that person is tasting, but the something is there, and they add to the atmosphere that adds to the taste between those two friends.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's always a support of. But you can see as it has that subtlety of aspect that they're dealing with the basically more of the Paramatma and Brahman aspect of the features of the Lord by dealing with the jnana, you know, they're in the jnana shakti supporting the kriya that therefore is going to support the icha. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's not directly, is it? They you know, Krishna walks around in Vrindavan and the cows only see four on four. But not meaning that, it just means it's taking that subtle aspect. That subtlety is there.
Yes. So we see Narada Muni when he goes to Dwarka, he sees Krishna. How he's interacting very personally with every of his queen, every queen and his
yes.
children.
Yes.
So he could see because of the Shanta Bhakta.
Yes.
Different form. But nobody else.
Nobody else can see because of the rasa. Yeah. So they only think that they're at that place. See, it's like, let us say, he goes to each palace. And in each palace, Krishna's there with the particular queen. And so, and if they're having some ceremony or something, then naturally then Krishna's parents will be there. But the parents are only aware of them being in that one place, though they may be in so many palaces. You know, the queen's only, Krishna's there in the one place. But the Shanta Bhakta, because he's appreciating these aspects of the Lord, that unlimited aspect and how he's that kind of the devotees and all, he can appreciate how Krishna's in each place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He can see that. The others can't see that. So it doesn't mean it's higher. It just means it's their unique flavor.
Yeah.
You know, and so Narada Muni, as he goes past, he becomes more and more ecstatic on seeing how Krishna is doing this. You know, like for the queens, when he's in all the palaces, it's going to make her to go down. But for Narada, it makes it go up. So it's just that focus on Krishna, the person, but those aspects of the person that are elements that would manifest the relationship with Paramatma and his unlimited features. These are the ones that they're appreciating the most. You know, it's just like Sukha and Sari are there in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Kunja, and they're always talking about Radha and Krishna. But it's they're talking about the basis of kind of the pastimes and how all this is there and things like that. You know, so it's different from the others. Because they're just excited about all these things. Well, then the others create some particular mood and this and that. And, you know, like Raghunath Das reads, I don't remember which book it was, but one of the other Goswamis. And then he becomes very moody and everything. And then like that. And then he had to write something else. Yeah, then something else was written. You know, he went back and because he wouldn't get out of that mood, he wrote another book to bring him out of that mood and make him more happy. No, never heard of this.
So it's not Lalita Madhava. No, I know the story. I don't remember the book, but it's not Lalita and Vidakta Madhava.
But there was some small books. It wasn't a big book. It was some small. But you just understand that. But you see, for the Shanta Bhakti, it's just all this is wonderful and nice and exciting, and it's just so inspiring. There's no sense of possession, so you don't specifically go in and look at it at a particular angle. You're just appreciating it.
Yeah.
So in that way, then there, you could say, you know, as Prabhupada said before, would be devotees in that they're devotees, but they give a support for the ones who are actually interacting within the rasa in a dynamic way. So in that way, then you'll say from dasya, and that they'll have that aspect. Because that possession, there'll be an actual dynamic interaction. So, like that. So the shanta will be there. Or by, you know, association, then those, unless he's meaning that those on that position, then by that association and that, then they become devotees. So then the position it would be that you can be. So basically it means that sadhakas, then they can get to the devotional position by association of the of pure devotees and absorption and service for the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the one is it's more about it, the thought, thinking about it. They're absorbed because they're atmaramas and not involved. And then these ones are yukta vairagya. They're engaging, you know, according to their position and all that, but without attachment. But they still have that idea of getting freed from material entanglement. So that brings them into that aspect. Because you see, beyond that, they're not interested in. Yes.
This, at least to me, explains why all the speakers of the Bhagavatam are all in Shanta.
Because then they, because the point is they can then speak.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then the problem they'll get distracted.
They're not involved, but then they can see everything.
Yes. Because otherwise, the parrot's there, you don't care. But if some rival gopi's there, you care.
It changes the mood.
So that's the whole point, is the Shanta Ras can be there and not affect the mood, because they appreciate. Well, someone else, then they'll have their own, you know, the cowherd boys, or, you know, okay, we've been sitting around here, Radhakun, so long, yeah, can't we go out and play, you know, like that, you know, so you can't do a whole lot with them.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that. Does that make sense? So it's going to be, yeah. It's just like you see Krishna goes with the younger cowherd boys during the Vastraharana pastime. You know, so the gopis are saying, well, you know, you just, you know, give the clothes to these young kids and they'll give it to us. You know, so they're so young that they're not even noticing anything. But at the same time, as you see, Krishna, you know, sits there in that, and then they come forward in that. But there's not other interactions. Otherwise, it's kind of like they wouldn't understand. It wouldn't match, because they're there. Therefore, it goes in a particular way. And because of the nature of those gopis who Krishna stole their clothes, then that's also going to be a particular flavor. Because that, from what I understand, is the younger group, Dunya's group. That's her gopis. Does that make sense?
Those who prayed later to Katyayani?
Yes. Because Dunya, they're the ones that are younger and all that. They stay at home and all that. No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's one group. You know, so that. So that wasn't you know, Radharani and her group,
yes,
or Chandravali and her group. That was Dunya and her group.
Mm-hmm.
So those three different levels like that. You know, so that also matches them, because it says that, you know, Krishna and that come together, so he just smiles and they get shy, and you know, that's the interaction.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. They practice with a suitable form of detachment, yukta vairagya, without giving up the desire for liberation. But though they have a desire for liberation, this does not destroy pure bhakti, because they desire liberation from samsara for destroying lust and anger, not for merging to the Lord. Moreover, they worship with a desire for liberation at the first stage only. Right, so the beginning stage then may be, but at some other points it's not. Because then they are liberated, so they're not. It's not something to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the main position, so situated in the liberated stage. So he sees that these bhaktas, they're expanding from the Sandini potency.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. 3.1.16. An example. When I take pleasure in living in a cave or under a tree, wearing a kopina and eating simple roots and fruits, meditating in my heart on the effulgent form of knowledge and bliss called Mukunda, who gives liberation, in this way, passing all my days and nights in a few seconds. Oh, when will I take pleasure? Okay. Srila Prabhupada. A saintly person thinks like this. When shall I be able to live alone in the caves of the mountains? When shall I be dressed simply with undergarments? When shall I be satisfied by eating simply a little fruit and vegetables? When will it be possible for me to always think of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence? When, in such a spiritual condition of life, shall I fully understand my days and nights to be insignificant moments in eternal time? So they're looking at the activities, all the other aspects like that. Well, the Atmaramas, they're not even worried about these aspects. It's just about being absorbed in the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami. The Lord is called Mukunda because he releases one from samsara. He is the giver of liberation. The word Rajanihi, night, signifies day and night. It is like the expression, he resides there three nights. You know, so it means it includes the day.
Yeah.
You know. Or if you say 3 days, it includes the nights. So whichever matches nicely in the poetry, then. The sentence obviously means he resides there 3 days and nights.
In business, it's always nights, because days you can cut, but night you can, you know, wake up a person and say, get out.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what you hope, yeah. They throw you out at 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock, you don't mind, but they throw you out at night, so therefore, yeah, you get the nights, yeah. Yeah, also, it's the, what do you call it, when you do the, you know, the tours,
yeah.
It talks about the nights.
Yes.
You know, 5 nights.
Yeah, whatever it is, business means nights, calculation.
Okay, that's far out. 3.1.17. The performers of austerities, having received mercy from the devotees and Atmaramas, hold in the sky of their hearts the moon of Baba called Shanta. Srila Prabhupada. The devotees and self-realized persons who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord always maintain an ecstatic love for Krishna within them. Maintain an ecstatic love for Krishna within their hearts. Thus they are benefited by the rays of the ecstatic moon, and they are called saintly persons. Right, so he's here is even taking it forward just into the aspect of just one is situated in this because he's absorbed like that. It doesn't mean you can't go farther, but it's a basis. You're always absorbed in glory, preaching the glories of the Lord. and remembering the Lord in the heart. So then they're always absorbed in the ecstatic, bhava of devotional service. Like that. So we see is that you have the technicality of it on its own, but you see Prabhupada's here is having been explained that, then it's showing how that person who's going to be engaged in these activities, that's you're going to be your preacher. So you can have your Atmarama who's not so much about these things, and then the one who is. And so the one who is, that means they're following the rules of the forms that are used. Well, the Atmaramas don't. See, this for Kumaras, it doesn't matter if they're walking in the forest or they're in the palace of, Maharaj Yudhishthira, they're still wearing the same thing. They don't change anything, it's like that. So they don't engage anything. All you see is others, then they might engage different things and paraphernalia and situations and duties and all that, but for the Lord. So they're absorbed in that ecstatic love for Krishna. Like that. And from that position, then you can attain any other position. So it's the natural position. Everybody will take that position. Yes?
It's interesting how by studying this about Shanta Rasa, it shows variety of taste is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then before, the impression was it's like tasteless stuff, like who wants that? But mm-hmm. actually, it has its own taste, very, very prominent.
Yes, yes. But it's just that it's so prominent, then once you get to the other rasas, you see it's more. In other words, it's fabulous, and then dasa is more fabulous, and then it just keeps going.
Hmm.
So, perfect, more perfect, most perfect, like that. Otherwise, yeah, I'm sorry, I shanta dasa.
Shanta is like nothing happens in people's life.
Yeah.
But because for us, everything is external.
Yes.
Then internal is
nothing happening.
Exactly, it's like vacuum or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But their internal is very rich.
Yes, yes. So basically, then from this we can give the example or the visual that when the living entity is leaving this, the spiritual position to come into the material, then Maya's there, at the gate when crosses like that. And she's got one of those special little machines that, sucks all the air out of, the vacuum patch. so all is the shell, the outside, and then they come into the material world, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They even have that term, Bahirmukh.
Yeah.
Those who turn into Maya means Bahirmukh, looking out.
Yes, yes. So that's why I said, when you look to the other side of Viraja, then you're already Bahirmukh.
Yeah.
You may be physically there in Vrindavan, but you're in the material world. So these kind of points are very subtle because you're dealing with the spiritual platform, which we're not used to. We have an idea of what's spiritual, but actually we're only dealing on a religious level, or the personal level. So we don't actually understand if we say, no, but we understand Brahman, it says, no, you don't, because it's coming from Krishna. It's his feature. So we don't actually even understand the nature of Brahman. Like that. Then it changes into it's Sanatana Dharma is actually understanding there. So most understand Sanatana Dharma, just your proper duties and all that in Varnashram. But the actual is Daiva Varnashram. That's actually the Sanatana Dharma.
Yeah.
So that's just talking here. People engage, they engage in all these nice things. And so then any devotee, any preacher who's involved, then they can experience this aspect, and then you have the benefit of the rays of the ecstatic mood, from the Sankirtan movement. So he's saying, by being engaged in the Sankirtan movement, then one will be situated there in that aspect of Shanta, where you're tasting the transcendental position. Then as you advance, then you can go forward. As possession develops and all that, then it goes forward. But just, that's like the preacher is here. So the Atmarama is not necessarily a preacher. It's not that he won't speak, but it's not that it's like Sukadeva Goswami just walking. And then they ask him to speak, so he speaks.
Yeah.
Like that. He doesn't have any problem with that. Because there's nothing to gain particularly for themselves because they're already on that transcendental platform. But then the other one who engages those things, so Prabhupada's showing that is the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
So then you will taste, you know, transcendental ecstasy. 3.1.18-19. Udipanas. The learned say that the unique stimuli for Shanta Ras are hearing the principal Upanishads, living in a solitary place, the appearance of pure mental functions, contemplating the truth, putting emphasis on Jnana Shakti, power of knowledge. Visual, you know, because we were saying that it's Jnana Shakti, Kriya, and Icha. So their main emphasis is on the Jnana Shakti. But they're free from the Ajnana Shakti, so they've gone beyond. While the impersonalist still has the idea, has the Karana Sharir, that I'm the controller and enjoyer, these have given it up, so then they come for the visualizing the universal form, associating with Jnana Misra Bhaktas, and discussing the Upanishads with similar persons. So the Jnana Misra Bhaktas also then will, you know, very nicely be comfortable in their association, because they can discuss all these things on a very high level, so the Jnana Misra will be very happy with that. Srila Prabhupada, the impulse of a saintly person is to be engaged in the study of the Vedas, especially the Upanishadic portions, to live always in a place where there is no disturbance from the common people, to think always of the eternal form of Krishna, to be ready to consider and understand the absolute truth, to be always prominent in exhibiting knowledge, to see the Supreme Lord in His universal form, Vishwarupa, to associate always with learned devotees, and to discuss the conclusions of the Vedas with similarly elevated persons. All these qualifications of a saintly person serve to raise him to the status of Shanta Rasa. What was that? What did you say before? The other one was. Didn't mention specifically their alambana. The alambana seems to be just that they realize the form of Krishna and all that. Like that. So that's there. But you see, these others then has all the jnana aspects to it. You know, the living, you know, the simple living, the study of the shastras, discussing that and all that. Well, the others is just, they're absorbed. They're not on the material platform, so they're just absorbed that more. Srila Jivana Swami, contemplating the truth, emphasizing the power of knowledge, and seeing the universal form should be understood to be the special stimuli for those practicing austerity. Right? So, because we mentioned is that there's the Atmaramas and then those practicing austerity.
Mm-hmm.
So, contemplating the truth, what is truth, what's not, emphasizing the power of knowledge. Through knowledge, then you can see, you can understand, you can appreciate. You know, and seeing the universal form, so how everything's connected to Krishna, how he's pervading everything, and all those aspects. The other items in the list are stimuli for both those practicing austerity and for the Aparamas. Okay, so power of knowledge, seeing the universal form, and practicing austerity. Universal association, yeah, okay. The Vidya Shakti and visualizing universal form should be understood to be in relation to the Lord. Brahmasatra, sacrifice of Brahman, means to deliberate on the Upanishads and with others of like mind. So it means that they're also going to live in a solitary place and be appearance of pure mental functions and like this. You know, contemplate the truth. So the Atmarama is going to be doing the same thing, but it's just that here, with these group, there's an emphasis of that. It means how you say it. Emphasizing the power of knowledge, seeing the universal form, contemplating the truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Vishwanath Chakravarti. Since the operation of external senses is forbidden, the internal sense, antakarnas, operates as stimulus. The avidyashakti, or ignorance, is the cause of bondage, and the vidyashakti is the cause of liberation. Thus it becomes prominent for these persons. Brahmasatra means to discuss among themselves the Upanishads. Footnote 5. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Prita, all sacrifices were culminated in transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita 4.33. Means if you perform action, you will gain knowledge. So therefore, we can see is knowledge will be the higher principle. So therefore, the sacrifice of knowledge will be higher than the sacrifice of then material possessions. Because you could give possessions and not actually have the knowledge, but if you keep giving possessions, you'll gain that knowledge. So therefore, someone working on that platform of sacrificing the knowledge has already attained the position that by sacrificing possessions will gain, will get to. So it's a higher position. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, by performing properly the process of karma yoga, you'll come to the platform of jnana yoga. Mm-hmm. It's automatic. 3.1.20, an example of hearing the Upanishads. Having entered the assembly of Brahma, so you see is that the Atmarama aspect is simply described because, you know, how many Paramhamsas are we dealing with? Right? But the others who practice austerities and all that, and then they get to that. That's something more we can relate to and we can use. Because that position, the Brahma-Bhuta platform we're trying to get to. But we have to understand that it's about Krishna. It's not separate from Krishna. So the lifestyle is going to be the same, just that the Shanta Bhakta will stop there, and the someone who's going to go on to other will keep going. But the lifestyle will be the same. That lifestyle of the saintly person, that's just your standard lifestyle. Yeah. Having entered the assembly of Brahma and hearing the Upanishads, the nine Yogendras, learned in the Vedas, free of suffering and with hair standing on end, then developed a great desire to meet the members of the Yadu dynasty. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated that all those who attended the pious meeting held by Lord Brahma for the study of Vedic literature, like the Upanishads, became overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Actually, the result of studying the Upanishads is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Negation of material existence is only one of the subjects of the Upanishads. The next subject concerns becoming situated in the impersonal realization. And then, after associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches the ultimate goal in studying the Upanishads. So you see that there's the, how you say it, you're getting rid of the material existence, then situating yourself in the impersonal realization, then coming to the platform of the Upanishads. So then you're going to have this aspect that's going to function, in that it's either mechanically you have this aspect, or it's the point of that you're appreciating the material world, you give up that appreciating, you appreciate the spiritual world and like that, and then one reaches the ultimate point of then actually appreciating the, you know, the Lord and the rasa and the pastimes that is happening with the devotees. Does that make sense? 3.1.21.22. The incomparable fragrance of the tulsi at the feet of the Lord, the sound of the Lord's conch, holy mountains, holy forests, holy places, the Ganga, the temporary nature of things of this world, the power of time to destroy everything are stimuli common for the Dasa Bhaktis as well as the Shanta Bhaktis. Srila Prabhupada. Those who are situated on the platform of Shanta Ras get their impetus for advancement in devotional service by smelling the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, by hearing the sound of the conch shell, by seeing a sanctified place in some mountain or hill, by observing a forest like the ones of Vrindavan, and by going to a place of pilgrimage, by visiting the course of the Ganges River, and by being victorious over the dictations of bodily demands. In other words, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. By understanding the devastation of eternal time, by constantly associating with devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. All these different items are favorable in elevating saintly persons situated in Shanta Rasa to the advanced stage of devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami. The fragrance of tulsi, the sound of the conch and the Ganga are stimuli for both the performance of austerities and the Atmaramas. The rest are stimuli for the performance of austerity. Okay. on the Ganga. These are also stimuli for the type of dasa bhaktas called ashutas, ashutaha, footnote 6. The ashutas will be described in 3 through 21. The four types of dasas are adikrita, ashrita, parishada, and anuga. There are three types of ashutas. Those who have surrendered the Lord as their protector, sharanya. Those who were previously jnanis, jnanichara, but later understood the superiority of the form and qualities of the Lord. And those fixed in service, seva nishtha, appreciating the Lord's sweetness. So we see, as we go into it, then, you know, as you were saying, then even each position becomes more. You know, they break it down, like Shanta, it has two forms, and then the Dasya, it has four forms. And then, like this.
Within those four, also each has a
different.
Within those four, each
has subsections, yes. So this is, yeah, it's very, very vast. Sarupaga means the Ganga, the river from heaven. 3.1.23. The fragrance of Tulsi from the third canto. When the breeze carrying the aroma of Tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change both in body and mind. Even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.23. In the third canto, 15th chapter, verse 43 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a statement by the four saintly persons known as Chatushana, Chatushana, headed by Sanaka Kumara. Sanaka. They went to visit the Lord of Vaikuntha Loka because they have the problem is this I don't know if it's there in the British, but at least in the American, you always have to emphasize a syllable. They can't just say it plain. And so then Sanaka will be how Sanaka. Americans will say it. But here it's just Sanaka. It's Sanaka Kumar. So that's why you get sad.
Yeah, Russian also have to emphasize.
Emphasize, and so that's why it becomes probably that's the Sanskrit. It's long or short. Nothing's emphasized.
Yeah.
They went to visit the Lord of Vaikuntha in the spiritual sky, and when they bowed down before the Lord, the aroma of the tulsi, mixed with saffron, entered their nostrils and immediately attracted their minds. Although these four saintly persons were always absorbed in the thought of impersonal Brahman, from association with the Lord, and from smelling the tulsi leaves, the hairs on their bodies immediately stood up. This shows that even a person who is situated in Brahman realization, if he is put into association with devotees in pure devotional service, will immediately become attracted to the personal feature of the Lord. Time's up?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll stop there. Otherwise, that has another section.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.